listen to the whole panel at the end. But our next speaker is Leah Rimkus, who's the Deputy Director of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation-funded Bridging the Gaps Initiative and is based at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Her work focuses largely on the influence of local-level policies, programs, and environmental factors on health-related behaviors and outcomes. So please welcome Leah.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. And thanks to the Food and Nutrition section for organizing and sponsoring this session. I'm going to be talking about volume discounts in fast food restaurants throughout the country. And by volume discount, I just mean a lower per unit price for a larger size. So a lot of us are familiar with the term supersize, which has kind of gone out of style, but the phenomenon still exists that there's a lot of these discounts for larger sizes. And I just want to thank and acknowledge my co-authors on this. I saw Lisa in the room. So hi, Lisa, and thanks to everyone who collaborated on this. And I have no relationships to disclose. If you're not familiar with Bridging the Gap, just briefly, it's a collaborative effort that focuses really on the impact of policy and environmental factors on adolescent health behaviors and outcomes. And it was started by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation in 1997 and focused really on alcohol, tobacco, and drug use among teens. And I would say in the last 10 years or so, we've shifted to focus more on youth diet, physical activity, sedentary activity, and weight. So the initiative is two different institutes. I'm at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and we collaborate with the University of Michigan that does the annual Monitoring the Future survey to get individual level data from youth on diet, physical activity, substance use, et cetera. So we're able to link our policy and environmental data to that youth outcome data. So for the presentation today, my objectives were to look at the prevalence overall of these volume discounts for two products, fountain drinks and French fries, in fast food restaurants using data that we had collected observationally across the country, and to compare the extent of these discounts across different chains to see if there's variability there, and also to look at if there's any differences by the racial and ethnic composition of the community or the income of the community. So why look at volume discounts and fast food? First of all, fast food consumption has been associated with a number of poor dietary outcomes, higher intake of soda, sweetened beverages, fat, saturated fat, sugar, higher calorie intake. I list one reference here, but there are several. Portion sizes in the U.S. have increased dramatically in the past few decades, and including in fast food restaurants. Research has shown that consumers, when they're served larger portions, tend to eat more, and they don't necessarily compensate during other meals and snacks. And this, again, is one reference, but a lot of you may be familiar with the fun experimental work of Brian Monsink with a lot of different products and big portions and how much people consume. So lastly, this concept of value pricing or volume discounts is a marketing tool. By offering something for just a small price and consumers see that they can get a good deal, they think they're getting a big value, but it is really profitable for the company because the actual price of the food is small relative to all the other costs like marketing, packaging, transportation, labor, etc. So this is pretty common, and we'll see what we saw. The data that I'm going to present is from our community obesity measure study, and this is a study where we went out and collected both local policy data, like on local ordinances, master plans, zoning, and also observational data, looking at the environment in a national sample of communities. We hired and trained data collectors to go out in the field and look at all these different types of businesses and facilities, so we're going to focus in on this fast food restaurant sample. And the communities that we went to were defined by that Monitoring the Future sample. So where the University of Michigan is doing its survey of teens, we go into those communities and look at the environment around the schools where the teens live. So we'll be able to link the policy and environmental data to the teens' consumption and weight outcomes. And I'll be presenting on 2 years of data. We actually were in the field 2010, 2011, and 2012, but this is from 2 years, so a total of 311 communities, and it was separate cross-sections. It wasn't a longitudinal sample. And just briefly, how we found restaurants on the ground. Because we were all over the country, we used some business lists to identify fast food outlets on the ground in each community, both on in Bradstreet and Info USA, but acknowledging that there are errors and omissions in these business lists, we also supplemented in the field on the ground with whatever our data collectors discovered that weren't on the list. So this is just a snapshot of our form that we used in the field and the different types of measures we had. And again, I'm zeroing in here on our pricing measures and the pricing and sizing for those two products, fountain drinks and French fries. We had our data collectors record on those forms the size and the price for both the smallest and the largest fountain drink and French fries in the field. And I put where available for French fries because some chains aren't going to sell that, like Chipotle or Subway, they're not going to have French fries. So we recorded it wherever it was available. And I specify smallest and largest instead of small and large because large isn't necessarily the largest size. You know, there's a lot of different names, extra large, biggie, Route 44, a lot of different things that are in the field that you'll see. So they recorded the real name of what the largest size was. And then we took that and matched to data from the company website, company nutrition brochures, and the Minnesota Nutrient Data System to find the actual portion size for those sizes, portion size for those labels, I should say. So either the ounces or the grams. And then these are the variables we looked at this in this analysis. We calculated the price per ounce or the price per gram for the smallest and the largest size for each outlet, and then we took the difference between those. So that's an absolute price, the difference. And then a ratio measure to look more at the relative difference in price per ounce or price per gram for French fries. And I'll give you an example just so this is a little bit clearer. This is a hypothetical situation where you have the smallest is 14 ounces and 99 cents and the largest is 32 fluid ounces and 139. So at the bottom left side, we calculated the price per ounce for smallest, largest, and then subtracted to get the difference and divided the largest over the smallest to get the ratio measure. And I'm going to mostly use the ratio measure from here on out, so that's what we're focusing on. And did the same thing for French fries, although that's a grams instead of ounces. So what did we find? Oh, first, before I go into that, just quickly our sample. We ended up with for the fountain drink analysis specifically, we ended up with 1,344 outlets, and that represents 16 different chains, fast food chains, across the country. And I broke down just some of the demographics for our final sample to look at it, and you see that we had a good amount in communities with 50% or more of the population that was white, and a higher showing in suburban communities, but also a good number in urban and rural communities. That's our total N for this. And when we looked across that total of 1,344 outlets, this was the average we got for fountain drinks in the volume discount. So what this means is the average difference in the price per ounce was 2.67 cents between per ounce in the size of the smallest and size of the largest. And on the ratio measure, essentially a consumer could buy the largest size for 65-66% of the relative per unit cost of the smallest size. And then there were differences when you look at it by chain. There were some that offered a greater discount. So here are some of the ones that had the greatest discount for fountain drinks, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, and Jack in the Box. And you can see the chain differences there. And then some that were lower than the average across the whole sample. So we had McDonald's, Popeyes, and Chipotle showing up there. And for the French fries, our sample was a little bit smaller because, again, not all of the chains carry French fries. So we had a total of 773 outlets in our sample. A similar breakdown to the previous slide. And here's the difference that we saw for French fries. So it's not as great as for fountain drinks, and I think that sort of makes sense if you think about the ingredients involved and maybe some extra labor or packaging or whatever, but it's less than a cent per ounce is the per gram, in the difference between the smallest and the largest size. And then a consumer could buy the largest French fries in an outlet for about 85% of the per unit price of the smallest size. And then the differences by chain here, ones that had a greater discount between their smallest and their largest, and chains that had a smaller than average discount. Okay. So then the other thing I wanted to look at was whether there were differences by the makeup of the community. So this slide shows both fountain drinks and French fries at the bottom, and we broke out the different communities among majority white, black, Latino, or other, being no 50% or more majority for any of these categories. And you don't see a really big difference across the different groups. The one thing that showed up as being significant was in the French fries bars on the right. The difference between white and Latino communities and Latino and other was significant. And then on the fountain drinks, I just made a note that the difference between white and black communities was marginally significant, so not at that 5% level. And by median household income, again, not a huge difference, but we did see under fountain drinks, the difference between low and middle income was significant in the amount of the volume discount or that ratio measure. And the difference between middle income and high income was marginally significant, but isn't labeled here. So I thought this was interesting that going into this, I thought maybe low income communities would have a higher prevalence of this because they might be more attracted to the discount, but we actually saw that middle income communities had a greater discount on average for fountain drinks in this case. And we did a regression analysis to look at what stayed significant when we controlled for different things in one model. So we put race, income, we also included urbanicity, whether the community was suburban, rural, urban, and we also included region and the data collection year in this model. And what you see is that the only thing that stayed significant was this comparison between middle income and high income communities or fast food restaurants within those. And so the lower ratio here means that there was a higher discount in middle income communities compared to low income, or excuse me, middle income compared to high. And this is for fountain drinks. And for the French fries analysis, it's a pretty similar picture where the only thing that shows up as significant in the regression analysis was middle income compared to high income and a greater discount in middle-income communities. So to wrap this up, the conclusions I came to was that volume discounts are common among top fast food chain outlets in the U.S., and the extent of these discounts varies considerably by the chain. We looked at, at 16 chains in the fountain drink analysis, and I think it was 10 chains in the French fries analysis. And the size of that average volume discount is very different between the fountain drinks and the French fries. And again, I think that kind of makes sense that you're just adding syrup and water to increase the size of the fountain drink, but French fries, there may be more expensive components. This should probably say no strong evidence. I have no evidence, but no strong evidence of variation in these discounts by the racial and ethnic composition and median household income, because we did see the difference between median and high income was significant, that there was a greater discount in the middle income communities, excuse me. So finally, implications. What does this have to do with anything, or what can we do about it? I just jotted down some notes about different policy implications. If a lot of people are familiar with what Bloomberg had proposed in New York City, which didn't pass, but capping the portion size on these kinds of sweetened beverages. And I would think that that would effectively eliminate this issue of consumers wanting to get a deal and sizing up and buying more calories than they would otherwise. I guess the one exception is if a retailer would offer quantity discounts and two-for-one deals where you could get two for a cheaper price, but I would think that would be less common than these volume discounts because it's an extra cup and straw and potentially extra labor. So that could have implications here. Also, the Change Lab Solutions out in Oakland had recently released a model ordinance on regulating the sales of sugar-sweetened beverages, and they have a lot of different policy provisions that communities can consider for reducing sweetened beverage consumption. And one of them is this, the issue of proportional pricing rules and making sure that food establishments set the same pricing per unit for all the sizes that they are offering. So I don't think that any community has proposed that, but it's there for consideration. And just finally, from consumer education, I think we really need to get at this issue of value and perceived value and make sure that consumers know it's not all about quantity, and to understand that for that nutritional quality is just as important. Try to work on that issue so that people aren't scaling up just to get a deal and getting a lot more calories without any nutrition. Oh, let me show you my last slide. Thank you. This is, if you're more interested in bridging the gap and want to find more information, this is our website. We have an email newsletter if you'd like to sign up, and we're on Twitter if you'd like to follow us, and my email's at the bottom. Thank you so much. The question was about differences within chains by neighborhood, and that we did run it. I didn't present it today, but we did look within at least the top chains that we have a lot of outlets, McDonald's, Subway, Burger King. And I don't want to report on it because I don't remember the exact findings, but I think there were some significant differences by racial and income characteristics. I think we could do that, yeah. I think it depends on how much power we have with the number of observations and what we can match. But yeah, eventually that's the goal, is with all of this BTG comp data, is to link what we can to individual outcomes to see if there's any association on what the impact is. Yeah.